This week, we saw more allegations of sexual harassment by high-profile men. NBC's Matt Lauer, radio host Garrison Keillor, music executive Russell Simmons, and Congressman John Conyers. But sexual harassment is not confined to the industries of media and politics. Danielle Paquette has been looking at what's happening in other industries. She's a reporter at The Washington Post. Danielle, welcome.
Happy to be here.
And you've looked at the numbers. What are the industries in which sexual harassment has turned out to be a big problem?
So sexual harassment is most prevalent in the industries we hear about least. The women who are most likely to file reports to the government, the EEOC, work in restaurants or clothing stores, service roles where they're not making a lot of money. They don't have a ton of resources, and they tend to say they're afraid of speaking up because they are afraid of losing their jobs.
So the service industry, what about the airline industry, which I guess is sort of part of the service industry, but we've long heard stories about flight attendants having to deal with customers that are doing things that are inappropriate.
Oh, right. That is something we hear about in pop culture. That particular job doesn't show up in our data. We've heard anecdotally that flight attendants still face this kind of treatment, but I'm not seeing evidence they face it any more than a woman at a restaurant or a woman in a clothing store who is equally vulnerable to customers and the people who work over her.
What about Wall Street, the financial industry, which has long been criticized as being a boys' club?
Well, Wall Street, it's technically by the numbers still a boys' club. There's very few women at the top of those companies. You do tend to hear about these horror stories of women walking into work and there's, you know, a picture of male genitalia waiting for them on their desk or, a little less obvious aggressions, like maybe they're getting left out of meetings or maybe they're being mistreated or not treated with the same respect as their male colleagues. This is something, though, again, sexual harassment, it happens across all industries, income levels, age, race. It's so pervasive. And now with this new Me Too moment, we're hearing it from practically everywhere.
But we're not seeing any of the heads of the Wall Street firms be brought down by this the way that we have in media and entertainment.
That's right. And I think one reason for that is it's not because it's not happening there. And it's not because powerful people aren't doing it there. Oftentimes, employees in these situations, they might report something to HR. And if they feel like they've been mistreated or even retaliated against for speaking up, they can bring these very quiet lawsuits, or they could lodge a complaint that would result in some kind of settlement, though they can't really speak about it because they've, in almost every one of these cases, they've signed a confidentiality agreement.
You and others at The Washington Post found specific problems at TED, as in the TED Talks. What did you find?
That's right. And that was one of those disappointing things to hear about. TED, as we all know, it's supposed to be about ideas and respect and people coming together. We started hearing from women who were paying $10,000 to attend these prestigious conferences, to network, to share ideas, only to encounter groping or some other form of gendered mistreatment. I heard from a woman who had been a main stage speaker at some point. She told me she filed a complaint to TED's leadership, but didn't hear back from them. We'd also heard stories about sexual harassment going on within the TED organization. And after our piece came out, one of TED's top management folks actually took a leave of absence.
So is it likely that in all of these industries that the changes that we're seeing in media and in the companies that are really in the spotlight are going to trickle down into other places and that sexual harassment will stop to some degree?
We can't say that yet. It's just so deeply entrenched in our culture, in our workplace, everywhere we turn, our schools, our universities. What I am seeing is that women, more than ever, feel empowered to speak up, and they feel as though they now understand that the behavior they might have faced in the past isn't just part of our culture. It isn't just something they have to deal with. They are now aware that it isn't right and that there are ways to seek recourse and that people more than ever might believe them.
You also recently reported on companies buying more insurance to protect themselves in these situations.
Right. That is something before I started cracking into that story I'd never heard of, but it's quite common. Companies across the country, not just in Hollywood or Silicon Valley, are spending more money than ever on the type of insurance that covers payouts from sexual harassment claims. These are cases when an employee might feel as though a boss has mistreated her, or harassed her, or a fellow employee has harassed her. And if she lodges a complaint and sues her employer, these insurance policies can cover millions of dollars worth of settlements. It's quite fascinating.
That's Danielle Paquette, a reporter with The Washington Post. Danielle, thank you.
Thank you.